Welcome. It's good to see you tonight in our evening service. We're going to begin by praising the Lord with hymn 41, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Let's stand, please, as we worship him. Well, it's good to hear the congregation singing to the Lord's praise, and it's a real blessing to a pastor's heart to see you all entering in. And certainly the youngest ones of our congregation, to have them entering in as well. I saw Janelle and Jaden, they were praising the Lord with all their hearts. And also, Azriel, you were singing out and praising the Lord. That was a good thing, and it's good to acknowledge that we owe the Lord so much. And we want to give him the praise from our hearts. That is going to be the theme of the message tonight. I bring you from Daniel's prophecy and book, because he was a man that saw the answer to his prayer, and he was very precise and exact in bringing thanksgiving to God and bringing praise to the Lord. And we're going to be looking at that this evening. Let's come to bow now in prayer before our Lord. Father, it is with great joy that we come once more on a Lord's Day afternoon into your holy presence, to the place of prayer and praise. And Father, we lift our hearts and pray at the very commencement that we would know the help of the Holy Spirit in our worship. Lord, as we pray audibly now and in the silence of the heart, come and direct us, Lord, we pray, and motivate our worship. Let our prayers be acceptable in thy sight. And Lord, when we come to the point, in some occasions, where we don't have the words, we cannot articulate our feelings properly, yet we are sure that the Spirit takes the groanings of our heart the breathings of our spirit, and they are presented at the throne of grace and glory. And so, Father, we are thankful for that tonight. And I pray that there would be in deep, deep settled joy. What a blessing it is to see the young ones in our congregation praising the Lord with their hearts. Father, pour out your Spirit mightily upon them, I ask. Bless from the very youngest to the oldest member here. And Lord, may there be great thanksgiving offered and great praise. And Lord, pour out your Spirit on all of us so that we would know, Lord, and walk daily in communion and fellowship with our Lord. Our Father, we pray again today as we were thinking this morning of the Browett family. Thankful that our brother Dan and his sons and daughter-in-law were here today. And Lord, just encourage their hearts and bless them in this time of their loss. We are thankful for the memory of our dear sister Jennifer. And we ask, Lord, tonight that the testimony that she has left behind would yet have a great impact upon many, many lives. And that, Father, through the meetings and services that will be held in the next few days, that the name of Christ would be exalted and that souls would come to trust in the Savior as a result of this time. And Father, in the days and weeks and months that lie ahead, continue to pour out your blessing, Father, and your Spirit's strength upon every individual one. Thankful our sister Beverly was in the service today as well. And bless her as it's so very real and close, the loss of her dear mother. Many others, Father, we just commit every heart and every family, every life into your care. Pour out your Spirit on us, Lord, in a great way in all the work that we attempt to do. And as things begin to open up more in our society, our city, our province, Lord, may we be ready to be of service in whatever way that we can. Bless the outreach, bless the ministry of our church as it goes out over sermon audio and over the electronic sign on the corner of our building. And dear Father, we do think today of sermon audio. We pray for Brother Stephen Lee and all of the team of workers that are working with him, that you would bless that ministry and outreach, and ever, Lord, preserve that vehicle of communicating the Word of God. And as the preach word goes out from many, many faithful pulpits, Lord, bless that ministry, and may there be a great ingathering, a harvest of souls, and the building up of the Church of Christ as we prepare, O Lord, for the return of our Savior. So be with us tonight. Remember our land. We have great need. Remember those in authority politically. For Lord, indeed, they have great need. Need of salvation. Need of wisdom. Need, Lord, of being restrained from foolish talk and bad policy. O God, deliver us, we pray, from time-serving politicians, and grant to us statesmen, stateswomen, those who love and fear God, raised up into positions of leadership. Dear Father, revive thy church, revive every faithful believer, every ministry across our land. Grant peace, we ask, and blessing to those who are serving and witnessing in harm's way today in Ukraine. Lord, help them, we ask. We ask for all those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake in many countries in this world today, so antagonistic against Christ, against the Word of God, against that which is true and honorable and right. And dear Lord, help us to take our stand in these last of the last days, that we might be bright for the Master, not depressed or melancholy, not cast down, but rather going onward and forward and upward with our Lord Jesus. Bless our school, that ministry that you have entrusted us with. Father, multiply and bless its witness. Be with every staff member and every student, and especially, Lord, as they grapple also with the loss of a colleague, and as students having lost a very valued teacher. Ah, dear Father, comfort and bless and encourage their hearts and help each one of them. So be with us now tonight. Encourage our hearts. And as we study the Scriptures, as we read and look more deeply into the Word, there would be handfuls in purpose for everyone. Hear our prayers now tonight, we ask in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. We're singing Psalm 103, the first selection. Tonight, let's stand, please, as we sing. Would you turn, please, now in your Bibles to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. We're reading from verse 24 down to 35. Of course, this section of the Psalms, 103, as it begins with the word of praise to God. So 104 is very similar as it starts off, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." These are sister psalms. And in verse 24 of Psalm 104, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh upon the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. We know that God will encourage our hearts, as he already has and will continue to do each time we look into his word and receive strength and comfort and blessing from that word. Welcome to our service tonight. It's good to have you with us in our evening time. We pray that the Lord will come very near and just write his truth upon our hearts and encourage all of us. We extend our deepest condolences to the Browett family again tonight in the loss of our sister Jennifer. It was so good to see Dan and his family in the service this morning. And brother, I know you're watching in the service tonight, so we again want you to know we are praying for you all and ask the congregation to remember the upcoming services connected with the passing of our dear sister Jennifer. There will be a visitation on Tuesday evening at Chapel Ridge, and I would encourage you to look up that if you're not quite sure where it is, on Woodbine Avenue. But it will be on Tuesday evening from 6 to 9 o'clock. And then on Wednesday, there will be a family interment service in Pine Hill Cemetery at 11 a.m. And also the elders and deacons and their wives are welcome to attend if they would also be able. We will then be having here in our service, in our church here on Wednesday at 2 p.m., a memorial service, and I hope you'll be able to attend if you're at all able to get off work and be a part of that memorial service. I know it would be greatly appreciated. We want also to have a time of fellowship after that memorial service down in the basement, some light refreshments, an opportunity to be with the family. And so if there are any ladies who are able to help with that, you're asked to meet downstairs after the evening service tonight in the Sunshine Room for a brief time just to look at some of the logistics. And also, men, we need to have some chairs moved downstairs in preparation for that. And so you can do that after the evening service as well. We enjoyed this morning service for the dedication we had of little Evelyn. And it's good to see her back in the service tonight. It's lovely to have the family with us and also to rejoice in that special time. And so do remember little Evelyn, please, in your prayers. We had a session in board, special prayer time this afternoon as we have been meeting monthly, praying about the future of our ministry, of our work here in the church and the school. This is a burden the Lord has placed upon the elders and deacons, and we have committed ourselves to praying for that. And of course, thinking about the upcoming deacons election in May, and all of your nominations have been brought in. They are being calculated now, tabulated, and then the next steps will be taken. But we're looking forward to that. And if you are a member of the church, you did not get an opportunity to make your nomination, that's okay, because you still will have the clear opportunity of the vote when it comes in the official time in May, on May the 18th. That's something I ask you all to keep before the Lord in prayer. Now, tomorrow, Tuesday night, rather, there was supposed to be the ladies' Bible study, but that has been put off because of the visitation for our sister Jennifer. And that will be put off to Thursday, April the 7th. So ladies, please take note of that. And then on Wednesday evening, we will have our prayer time at 7:30 here in the church. And next Lord's Day, our regular services. Those are all the ministry announcements we bring to you tonight. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise. And this is a hymn that, well, we don't have in our hymnal, but it's "Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart." Remain seated, please, while we sing. Lovely chorus and a hymn, but it's not just so easy to sing if you haven't been used to singing it. And it's one we have sung in the school, and I know in Sunday school it has been sung before, but we have to do a little bit better than that. So I want everyone to stand now, and let's sing one more time and go through that. Give thanks. Turn now, please, in your Bibles with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel, chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 14 down to 23. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hath made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Let's pray. Our Father, we know tonight that the God and Lord that Daniel prayed to, Father, You are the same God that we pray to tonight. And our Lord has not changed. The same yesterday and today and forever. And Lord, that gives us great confidence, great fortitude, great help, and resilience to go on in our day. Help us, we ask, Lord, to understand the word, and may it be applied to our hearts by the Spirit tonight. Lord, change us. Make us less and less like our old self and more conformed to the beauty and the glory of our Savior. Hear our prayer now tonight. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, for a text tonight in this section, we're going to be looking at verses 19 down to 23 of this chapter and this portion of the Word of God. Time was not on Daniel's side, for Nebuchadnezzar, being troubled by the nightmare that he could neither remember in part or whole nor understand, and he had decreed that the bogus soothsayers and wise men of Babylon, equally unable to reveal or to decipher this dream, they were all to be cut in pieces, which included Daniel and his friends. But Daniel moved fast, and he pleaded for some time, and then he went to find his companions at their home, and they called an urgent prayer meeting. This was their only strategy. God must step in, or else they would die. They were not fatalistic about this, leaving all to the moment, but they were united in earnest prayer, calling on the God of heaven, the only one that could reveal the secrets and give to them the information that was needed. And God graciously and with purpose answered their prayer. But Daniel was not like one of those 10 lepers, or the 9 of the 10 lepers, that were healed and forgot to return to give thanks. No, he was not like that at all. He was a man filled with appreciation, a true heart of thankfulness for the kindness and mercy that God had shown. And I pray tonight that as we examine and look at this portion, that the Holy Spirit would impress upon our hearts the necessity of coming to the Lord with a true heart of thanksgiving for the mercies that He bestows upon us specifically and very generally. Because too often we may be neglectful in that very point. That we will exalt the sovereign God of heaven, the one of creation, for all His majestic ways and all His wisdom that He has granted to us. So we want to think in the first place tonight about direct prayer and direct divine answers. Direct praying and direct answers that come. Look at verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. This was the whole reason why they had their special and urgent prayer meeting. They needed the answer, or else they would be cut in pieces. It's easy for us to look back now from our vantage point and see that God had a plan in giving this dream to the king of Babylon, first of all, and then all the mechanics of the revelation of that dream, so that Daniel would be exalted in the kingdom, and so would his 3 friends, and all that would ensue after that. We see the end of the story now to some degree. But they were men of their generation. Let's not forget that. They were men of their time. And they did not know all that God was going to do through Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon and the kingdoms that would come after that. Daniel did not have a crystal ball that he looked into the future apart from what the living God revealed to him at precise moments and times through his life. And so Daniel did not know beforehand what Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed, nor the interpretation. He needed to find out that answer. And he did not leave it to fate. They followed the pattern that God has laid out in His Word. And that pattern is for God's people to seek the face of God in the times of our urgent need. God calls His people to prayer. And you and I, friends, tonight must learn this lesson and take it from this word that we are being taught here, that we will not take prayer as some sort of perfunctory action of a believer and a Christian, because God knows all that's going to happen anyway, and it doesn't really matter if we pray. That is not the teaching of the Word. But the teaching of the Word of God is the responsibility that He lays upon His people, all of us, to seek the Lord with our hearts and to call upon the living God. Because you know something? Daniel and his companions were operating in real time. As we walk through every day of our life in real time, and therefore we must see the reality of God operating in the real time of our lives. And this illustrates to us the boldness of the faith that Daniel and his companions had. He went into the king, and he said to the king, "Give me time, and I will tell you the interpretation of your dream." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not so sure I would have that same kind of boldness at all. Unless, of course, You were absolutely confident and dependent in the God of heaven that you worshiped, that you knew that the Lord was going to make known to you the answer to this prayer. This was a very, very precise step of faith that this man had. We know by his life and by the book, he was not an arrogant character. He was not a presumptuous man. He was a humble man. And this is another indication and evidence of that for us. This is what you call putting the legs of prayer to our needs and not a careless neglect that, quite frankly, so often I have been guilty of, and I think maybe you would have to admit the same thing. Daniel records for us that the secret was revealed to him in a night vision. You notice something specific here in the text. This was not a dream. Daniel was not sleeping, and he had a dream whereby God revealed to him in the dream about Nebuchadnezzar's dream. But this was a night vision, two totally separate things. Why are we told that? Why do you think, what was Daniel doing at nighttime? I'll tell you what he was doing. He was doing with his companions. They were on their face before God in an all night of prayer. That's what they were doing. And as they were praying, God revealed the answer to him in prayer. Now we know today that the Lord has given to us the completed revelation of his word. And whereas in the Old Testament times, he spoke to his prophets through dreams and through visions, and sometimes, rarely, God would speak audibly to his servants. But now we have today the finished revelation of God's word, and so now the Lord speaks and communicates to us through the scriptures everything he needs us to know. But that does not mean, my dear friends, that the Lord's Spirit will not communicate with you personally on something that he is directing you to do. This is not extra-biblical revelation in that sense. This is not something whereby God would speak to me or direct me in my spirit, and therefore it's now incumbent upon you to follow what I'm saying. That's not what this means. But the Lord definitely directs his people in our spirits and communicates to us. You know that when you're praying. You know that when you're reading the scripture. And how you come to a portion of the Word of God and you've read it maybe 10 times, maybe 20 times, and then all of a sudden something very precious comes out of that scripture to your heart. And that's the Spirit of the Lord communicating with you and just directing you. Sometimes the Lord will do this by putting his finger on a point where we need to be corrected. And the Lord knows just how to do that in our lives. It came to him in a night vision as they were in prayer. And this was the specific prayer that they had asked God about. They needed to know the dream and the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar, and nothing short of that would do. This urgent need and this very specific request, it garnered for them a fast answer and a specific answer. And thus we learn that God does answer prayer as he says. But I want to tell you tonight, it's not always that clear, friends. And if you've been a Christian on the road for some time, you will know it's not always that simple. We have been praying for a long time for the healing of Jennifer Browett. As a congregation, as a pastor, I prayed publicly from this pulpit many times for the healing of Jennifer. You prayed in your own hearts for the healing of Jennifer. We pray that God would raise her to a measure of health and strength, for she had many bodily concerns and issues. But that did not happen as we thought. And this is yet another example for us of how God answers prayers, but in a different way than you and I will think or that we desire. This is not an easy thing. And quite frankly, friends, when this happens, it can shake your faith. It can rattle our faith and our confidence in God and His Word. And when we come to pray very specifically on something and it doesn't happen the way we are praying, we can begin to wonder, what are you doing, Lord? How come? Why would you not answer this prayer? It seems to be the right thing to pray. It seems to be the right desire that we have. And I know our brother Dan, as he poured out his heart to the Lord for his dear wife, praying that she would be spared, that they would continue in their life together. But all that has now changed. Does this mean that God has not answered prayer? As we prayed for her to be healed, is she healed today? We prayed that she would be restored to health and strength. Is she healthy and strong today? Most definitely she is healed today. And it's not healed in a measure. It's not like three quarters healed. She is now today in perfect health and in perfect strength. She is not struggling for breath through a ventilator, kept on the verge between life and death, and all the other organs in her body shutting down. That was a difficult sight, friend, to go into the ICU, and see our dear sister in the weakness of the body. A sickness-ridden body, but not today. No, today she is perfectly whole, and her spirit is absent from her body, but present with the God of heaven. And if you do not believe that, friend, then you do not believe the Scripture. That's what the Lord tells us. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said. For he knew that his time was drawing to the end. He knew that his life on this earth was nearly over, and he was able to declare and conclude, to be absent from my body, I am present with the God of heaven. Is there any better healing you could ask for? No, friend, there is not. And I am rebuked tonight, because those very thoughts came into my own heart when I heard the news of Jennifer's passing. And I thought, Lord, we prayed that she would survive. We prayed, Lord, that she would be restored. But it hasn't happened in the way that we thought it should happen. How do you deal with that? How do I deal with that as a Christian tonight? Do you know how we deal with it? We submit our finite mind and understanding to the sovereign purposes of a loving God who will never, never do us any harm and always does for our good. This is the God that we worship. Can we submit ourselves to the truth that all things work together for good? To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. There is no doubt that this leaves behind a wake of sorrow. It's not easy to overcome. Death is the separation and the finality of it. For our brother Dan and his sons and their family, they're grieving the loss right now. I feel for them because, you know, Matthew going out the door today just said, I don't even think I've understood the reality of this yet. That's not uncommon at all. Because there's so much happening now, the news of it coming, the details of all that must be worked out. We have to grapple with the stark reality of death. The death of a loved one. And many of you have been there. Many of you have gone through this. But ask yourself this question. Would you wish to have your loved one brought back from the presence of Christ to this scene of time, to this broken and twisted world, where they would continue to go through all of the trials and struggles that we are presently still going through? If we would desire that, quite frankly, it would be to consume upon our own selfish desires and not for their good. We know that. Friends, God has answered prayer regarding our sister. And we do well to submit ourselves to His divine purpose in the timing of all things in this life, this side of heaven, things that we know but things we don't know. For Daniel and his friends, God chose to answer their prayer with speed and with specificity because of the occasion, the need of the moment. And we can trust in the Lord at all times, that His timing is always right and it's always on time. He is never late. He is always on time. Then from this occasion of the answered prayer, we have in the second thought tonight, spontaneous worship that flowed from this. Because verse 19 starts off with this word, then. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. It was immediate. And there was no delay in the worship that God's servant gave back to the Lord. Because of the specific answer, they were given the remarkable revelation of human history. You know, delay tends to lessen in our own hearts the fervency of our thanks. Sometimes it will betray a careless or perhaps even a thankless spirit when we do not come with immediate response and the passionate praise that should be given to our God for answered prayer. To give to our God immortal praise, as the hymn writes. In some respects, many of us are like, just like those nine lepers who failed to return with thanksgiving for their healing. And it is here we must use caution, because so many things we can take for granted, and that attitude or spirit, we must be cautious it doesn't spill over into our Christian lives. Our hearts and mouths should be filled with praises to our God constantly for His mercies and His blessings. And when there is a grateful spirit, there will be also a spontaneous worship, and such worship that is fitting to the God of glory and of holiness and of all majesty. Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And while we will consider the details of that blessing shortly, it's important to note that with this, the immediate nature of his praise, there was an orderly and a composed spirit that accompanied it. Too many times people believe that, you know, the earnest and sincere and genuine worship that comes from God's people, it must be filled with extreme emotionalism. But that's not what that means at all. And when we're told about the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much, it doesn't mean that it had to be a fevered or some emotional, uncontrolled, ecstatic expression. No, that's not what it means at all. Because when we come before the God of heaven to worship Him in reverential worship and thanksgiving, it flows from orderly hearts. It flows from hearts that are composed and articulating that praise to the Lord clearly and accurately. The character of Daniel that we see from these words here before us, why, it marks a testimony of this man throughout the rest of his book in the prophecy, because emotionalism, it is no clear evidence of the power of God. And that's where the sensual or fleshly side of us can come into it. Sometimes we think that if we pray with greater volume, or if we pray with great speed, or if we pray with great emotional words, that means there's power there. It doesn't necessarily mean that at all. And sometimes the quietest prayers that you offer are the prayers that are in touch with the Lord, and the prayers that are from the heart to express praise to Him. But on the other side of that too, we have to realize that just because prayers are so-called gloomy or morose or melancholy, that is no evidence of holiness. We have to be mindful of the two extremes of that. The people of God, we are called to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, that is true. And God has given to us emotions in order that we can express our hearts. And it's good for us to do that in our prayer and in our praise with the deep feelings of our soul, a soul that we would say and hope is on fire for God. The hymn writer wrote, "Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast." Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, tonight, let our praise be glorious and spontaneous to our God, who is worthy of both our immediate and our continual thanksgiving for all that He has done for us. So yes, we have His direct prayer and a divine direct answer and His spontaneous worship that came from it. But think finally about the specific details of the thanksgiving. Look at verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." When God blesses us, we receive from Him benefits and encouragements, daily provisions, and of course, eternal blessings that we look for down the road, and that will be the reception of that when we get to glory. But yet we also possess them now spiritually, because we know we are rich in God. We know we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We know that the things that God has promised to us, we already have reserved or laid up in glory. And then, of course, there are all the temporal things that He gives us. When God blesses us, we increase. We are changed for the better. We grow in grace and in his knowledge and love of him. But how is it that we can bless God? Because Daniel here says those very specific words, that he will bless the God of heaven forever and ever. When we bless God, none of the previous things that God gives to us can apply in reverse. We cannot give anything to the Lord whereby he will be improved or bettered or improved. Now we know that's true because the Lord is God and we are human and finite. So when we come to bless God, what does that mean? It means that we come to give to him the worship of our hearts. We come to give him the praise that is due unto his name. And yet how limited, how trammeled are we in giving of that praise? We offer and give that and the devotion and thanksgiving of our hearts for what he has done for us. For a human being to bless God, it is to express the deepest emotion and love of a redeemed heart and all that we can give. To bless the Lord with all of our hearts is to magnify him in heart and to acknowledge that without him, we can do absolutely nothing. And apart from him, well, we are not saved. We have no hope for eternity. This is the sum total and the whole reason why you and I were created in the first place and why we have been redeemed, so that we might reflect and give back to the Lord all that he has given to us, so that we are being made more like our Lord Jesus, conformed to his image. And the more we are conformed to his image, the more we will reflect his beauty and his love. But Daniel goes further by saying, "Blessed be the name of the Lord God forever and ever." Man will wither and decay. And just as the grass, it grows up in the morning, and God says, and then it's cut down at night, cast into the fire, is burned, short-lived. But we know our life is compared like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But the character of God and all of his excellencies, they are forever and forever. They are everlasting. God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being and wisdom and power and holiness and justice and goodness and truth. And therefore, his name, which means his character and being, it remains the same forever, and he deserves all the glory and worship and blessing that can be given to him by all of his creation. For wisdom and might are his. When Daniel declared this, he stated in the very simplest of terms the most profound truth, and it was that God is omniscient and he is omnipotent. Look at the words at the end of verse 20. It says, "For wisdom and might are his." Why does he highlight these twin virtues? He highlights these, I believe, because they really summarize from a human perspective the sovereignty of God. He is all wise, and he is all knowing, and he is all powerful. And those things give to us, in a very brief definition, what the Lord has done and what he will do to complete his purposes. There is nothing he does not know, and there is nothing that he cannot do. It was more than just revealing the hidden impulses of the brain during the sleep time that God revealed to Nebuchadnezzar such a dream in the first place? Why did God do this? Why did he use this king? Why was it at this time and juncture in history? The only answer we have to that is that God determined that he would make known his purpose and his will to humanity at that particular time through that evil king, and it would come about by these unusual circumstances that the king himself had no idea what was going on. But the Lord made it known through God's servants then, and ultimately for us today. And those things that were revealed through that dream and that Daniel was able to interpret for the king, well, God had his ultimate purpose in bringing that to pass, because he is a God who is all-wise and all-knowing and all-powerful, and we will bless him forever. Listen to the words of J. White, a commentator. "And if we see God in history, we must compare causes and effects, events and their circumstances. We must not be content with looking to what occurs. We must observe what comes out of occurrences. Especially must we take in the whole range of this vision and consider the effect which every general movement had upon the world. One of the brightest mirrors reflecting the divine attributes, every page of history it has been inscribed upon." Because God is working through history, and he is working in real time, and he was showing what was to come to pass. Daniel goes through these next verses, and he highlights some of these wonderful attributes of God's sovereignty. In verse 21, he said he changes times and seasons. You see, man goes through life thinking that, well, whatever happened yesterday, it's going to be in the same pattern as tomorrow and the next day. And if you've lived a history of the last 5 years, and you see things have happened this way or that way, people begin to wonder, well, think, well, it's just going to continue on that way. But the Lord is the one that is always operating in human history, and he takes times and opportunities and seasons, and he will alter and change them in order that his plan will be fulfilled. Is there any that can do this beside the sovereign God that we worship? We're told that he removes kings and he sets up kings. Hard again for us to grapple with this, because when we see wicked kings and rulers like Nebuchadnezzar, who was violent and wicked in his direction and purposes, how could it be that the God of heaven would set up such a king? And yet so we are told in the Word of God that he puts one king in a position and he removes another king from a position. He puts one president in. He takes one prime minister out. And the Lord is operating according to his time frame. And he gives wisdom and knowledge. And he reveals the deep and the secret things at his appointed times. He knows what is in the darkness and in the dark regions and thoughts and hearts of a man's mind. God knows it. And he is the one who dwells in light. And Daniel exalts the living God. And if you want to find a definition of sovereignty, well, you have it in these verses clearly laid out. And God's servant offers the thanksgiving and the praise to him, the God of his fathers. And that tells us how that Daniel had been well trained in the upbringing of the law of Moses. He knew his history being a child from Israel, and he had trusted in and had faith in the God of his fathers, and he knew the Lord himself personally. And this whole prayer of thanks, you know, it took less than 1 minute to speak that prayer. You go ahead and try it. You read from verse 19 to 23 and set your stopwatch and see how long it takes you. I did this afternoon. Just about 50 seconds. I was reading slowly. It was a brief prayer. And you know, Daniel himself will at different times later on in the book, we will find that he prays for 21 days. He was before God seeking the Lord earnestly, and his prayers were long. They were extended as he called upon God. But very often in the scripture, you will find that prayers are short, because prayer does not have to be long for God to hear. And when we come with our precise asking, and when we come to the Lord with our need and our hearts open, he knows. We don't have to educate God, you know, and we certainly don't have to preach to him. We don't have to use prayer to teach other people things that they need to learn. Let's be careful that our prayers are to the honor of the Lord as we direct our thoughts and our minds to him. Ah, dear friends, as we've considered these thoughts tonight and these things before the Lord, yes, our direct praying will receive direct response from the Lord. Divine response may not always be the way we think it should be answered, but let's be knowing this, that God always answers our prayers. He has promised that. And that from that also should flow that spontaneous worship back to God again, because we have so much and so many details that we can give thanks to the Lord for. And as we close this service tonight, you, believer, have, as I do, more than enough reason to give our thanks to him. But it may be, friend, that you're either here or you're watching online tonight, and you don't know the Lord. You have never trusted in him. Daniel's God is not your God, because you have never submitted yourself at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I say that to you tonight, my dear friends. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I exhort you and encourage you, call upon the Savior, because he is worthy to be praised. And he will, at the sound of your voice, at the calling from your heart, he will save you. And you will know tonight that you are born again of the Spirit of God. Our dear sister, Mrs. Barbara Nichols, she phoned this afternoon. She has not been that well recently and was not able to be out to the service. And actually, Debbie and Norm were making their way to the church this morning, but there was that freak storm that came in and there was ice all over the highway. They had to turn back, so they couldn't make it today. But our dear sister asked if we could sing a hymn tonight, and I said, yes, we will do that in closing. And it fits in with what we're thinking about tonight. Number 576. Above thine own ambitions here. And when we think about the Lord's great purposes in our lives and how he is working things out, is not good for us to say, Lord, above all of my ambitions, above all my desires, I want to be in the place where Daniel and his companions were. I want to submit myself under your sovereign will, because there is peace and there is joy there, and we can be very thankful for that. Let's stand as we worship God with this closing hymn. final verse tonight. I trust, Mrs. Nichols, you're rejoicing tonight as we're singing this hymn at your request and to the praise of God. And isn't it so true that we are asked and exhorted here to go through with God? Did you notice these final words? The price is high and severe, the test for those who would enjoy God's best. Surrender all, then take the road with those who will go through with God. It might be, friend, tonight, maybe the Lord has been speaking to your heart. Maybe there's some person here, maybe someone watching online, and the Lord has been drawing you, calling you for some work, some service, to give your life to Him in some way. Well, then hear that call tonight and draw near and give yourself unreservedly to the Lord. It's so important for all of us, you know, to bring ourselves to that point of rededication of life, not just once a year, not just once every decade, but maybe once a day, maybe every day. Give ourselves afresh to the Lord and say, Father, what do you want of me this day? Let's sing this final verse. Lord, you have heard as we have been praying and singing tonight, and even this closing hymn. Dear Father, we want to say tonight we are your servants. Father, we are in your hand. Come and take our lives and do with us what you will. Dear God, we don't want to run this life course in our own direction or thinking. Dear God, time is too short for that. I pray that each one of us here would place our lives on the altar of sacrifice for service, and that we would be very mindful, Lord, to give the worship and praise of our souls. Because, Lord, you are worthy of all that we can give and so much more. Part us now in your fear and with your rich and mighty blessing. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.